Welcome to Rhymes with Lansing, companion podcast project of Inspired Media, bringing you stories from where Main Street meets the Mississippi in this special mini-series being recorded live in downtown Lansing at The Works. Start planning your trip to Lansing, Iowa at lansingiowa.com. On this special episode, I'm so excited to have with me someone that we have gotten to know over the years, someone that has fearlessly gone upon the path in Lansing, Iowa, finding opportunity. Marianne Baldwin, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Benji. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's so much fun to be here. Granted, it's the spring of 2024. We're seeing a little unspring-like weather while we're recording this, but hopefully while people are listening to this, it is a sunny, beautiful day, and people are thinking about being out on the river, getting down into the river valley, having some fun, checking out small town Iowa, right?
We can't wait to welcome you.
Marianne, first and foremost, tell us how you got to Lansing, Iowa. How did you find your way to this part of the world? Because I know that you aren't from this part of the world necessarily.
Well, I think I'll start with my last stop before I discovered this area. So we could go quite a ways back. There's a 35-year career in there, but I don't think that's what we're here to talk about. So,
although it did have to do with other things, right?
Yeah,
you did some broadcast recording.
I did. I worked in over the years, my first jobs were producing live television. So
love that.
Maybe that prepared me well for entrepreneurship, because you just, whatever happens while you're live on the air, you just have to find a way to go with
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. You got to roll with it. That's how it works.
Yeah. But my last stop before coming to the Driftless area was Cedar Rapids, specifically Marion, Iowa. And I lived there for, well, shouldn't say that. I lived there for 15 years. I worked for a company that was based there for almost 20 years. And during that time, my husband and I fantasized about where we would have a weekend getaway. And Montana was fun to think about, but we'd never get there. And the Upper Peninsula and extreme northern Wisconsin also sounded pretty cool. But when we discovered that was an eight-hour drive, we weren't sure how often we'd get there. And oh, by the way, we traveled for work, so we weren't home much during the week either.
No strangers. Yeah, right?
So, and ironically, you know, my husband was born outside of Madison. We both had stints in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Ironically, not at the same time. We didn't meet until about 20 years later.
Wow.
But we both knew a lot about Wisconsin, but I'd never been further west than, you know, sort of Wausau, Stevens Point area. So
sure.
I don't know how it came up, but one day we were talking about the Mississippi River, and it's like, well, let's take a drive up there. And I did some searches online and saw there were some real estate companies selling land up here. So I thought, well, let's just call somebody and tool around and see what we can see. So that was in May of 2002.
Wow.
We weren't even married yet. And
I
will tell you that on June 2nd, 2002, we sat down in a realtor's office and signed the papers to buy 13 acres of land to build a getaway home. So it was
awesome. It
was just a slam dunk. I mean, we just got up here. And
now that's on, and where you're talking about is on what I like to lovingly call Wisconsin's West Coast, correct?
Yeah, I do. It's absolutely the West Coast.
Just across the river from Lansing here.
Yeah.
So, in fact, you might have gotten to take the water ferry across this morning to get here. Is that right?
Yep, I did. I took the passenger ferry, also known as the water taxi.
Water taxi,
Before the rain turned to snow.
Oh, my goodness.
But they run. They keep running. It is... it's a charming experience.
Yeah.
The first time I did it, I thought, this is... You know, I've done a couple of European river cruises, and you know, you're a tourist, and they take you off the river. You know, your cruise ship, and you get on different modes of transportation.
It's your Tinder, right?
Yeah,
getting over to Lansing.
And so,
I love it.
I think it's awesome.
But, something I always tell people who aren't familiar with this part of the world is that it's almost, in some ways, it almost is another country. It's almost like its own thing, right? Because the East Coast of Iowa, the West Coast of Wisconsin, the Mississippi River Valley really is its own place.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I've not been anywhere else that's this like it. It's a really interesting. Mm-hmm. And the Mississippi, of course, I mean, the rich, rich history of the Mississippi River, but this part of the Mississippi, particularly all the early influences, all the history, there's a lot of really amazing pieces to it, mm-hmm. right?
Yep. It's one of the things that I find fascinating is what a conduit that river is for all facets of life. The
yeah.
The trains, the barges, the car traffic, obviously, but then all the waterfowl, mm-hmm. just all the migration that goes up and down the river and all the different species of birds that you can see. Then obviously the fish, you know, whatever resides in the river. So it's clams, as we learned, because the mussels, they had to relocate so they didn't disturb them in the bridge construction. So it's an incredible ecosystem. It's an incredible, really unique economy. And
hey, speaking of unique, it's noon in Lansing. If anybody can hear the siren,
the whistle's going off. Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
I think we need to stop and go get lunch.
Yeah, yeah, right. No kidding. We'll keep it to a half hour if we can. So much of that history is so fascinating. There are so many pieces of the puzzle that led to so many of the small river towns, mm-hmm. right? But Lansing is a really unique place, I think, and somewhere that's close to my heart. I know my wife and I both love it here. It's funny. When I left Decorah as a young person, as a teenager, I was out east for college. I went out west. I was living out west. What my dream, my plan, I was working on the road doing lots of other stuff, was to actually come find somewhere in this part of the world that I could come disappear mm-hmm. when I wasn't working on the mm-hmm. road. So it's kind of a similar story. It's funny to think about. My plan turned out a little differently, but I haven't given up the dream entirely on.
Well, you're here today.
I am. I'm going to embrace it for sure.
It is a good place to hide, though. I mean, it's not super easy to get to.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a, you know.
And the opportunities are really rich. I mean, mm-hmm. it's really amazing. If you have an idea, which is going to lead into kind of what we're talking about, but if you have an idea in small town, rural Iowa, anywhere, mm-hmm. rural, mm-hmm. anywhere in the Midwest, but if you have an idea and the drive to try something, mm-hmm. boy, it's a great time to do that in a lot of places, you know? So speaking of that a little bit, the place we're sitting today, mm-hmm. Which was originally titled Lansing Office Works, right? Mm-hmm. And now we're calling it The Works. Mm-hmm. We'll get into mm-hmm. why.
Sure.
But this is a really unique property and a unique model for, you know, small town, Main Street, rural towns, right? Mm-hmm. Tell us about how this building, which is also a beautiful historic mm-hmm. building, it's been redone beautifully. Tell us how this place came to be and what it is.
Sure, absolutely. So I retired 7 years ago now. The main reason I retired was because of the travel. And quite honestly, every time I had to drive up to the La Crosse Airport to fly out of here, it got harder and harder to leave. especially as spring and summer came. It's like, I don't want to miss this
even
week.
Even out of the easiest airport in the world.
Yeah, I wanted to be here. So so we were able to, you know, make plans so that I could retire. And my line is, all I wanted to do was teach Matt Pilates. That was all I was going to do. So fast forward 7 years, and I'm owning my second small business, and I'm having a blast. So so I did wind up becoming the owner of the fitness center.
Naturally, as one would do in a small town, right? Why would you not?
I asked the owner if I could teach Pilates class there, and a couple of weeks later, she called me and asked me if I'd like to own the gym. So
that is classic small town. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But she was very patient with me because small business ownership was not something. I mean, I thought it was cool, but it was not something that I had envisioned myself being involved with. So, and then when I had the opportunity to sell the fitness center, and I was getting ready to sign that over to the new owner, and I'm driving up Main Street thinking, I'm not going to be a business owner in this town anymore, and this is really fun. I like these people, and we do good things together, and, you know, between Main Street and our Women in Business group and Park and Rec, and it's like, what's my context for Lansing? Because I live in DeSoto, you know, which we call a suburb of Lansing, by the way. So which is why it's so hard out not having that bridge right now, but we're cut off from our metropolitan area. But
right.
But anyway, for the 4 years that I owned the fitness center, I would drive by this building, and the restaurant that was housed here closed in 2014, and it just sat here for years. And so at this point, it's 2021. And
wow,
I was always thinking, that's going to be really cool when somebody buys that, and I wonder what it will be, and it'll be something new in Lansing, and nothing happened. So I called the realtor and said, can you just take me inside?
Wow,
we'll just go look,
right?
So the business that the brick and mortar business that we have here is a co-working space, And it's a place for remote workers, for entrepreneurs, for teleworkers, for people who are traveling who need workspace. And it fit the retirement lifestyle because it's, you know, people are members here. They can come and go as they need to. It's not like a retail shop or a restaurant where I have to be here to turn on the lights and open the door and so forth. So it fit my lifestyle well. Those were the kind of the key ingredients. So I kept bringing different people in here, explaining to them what I was thinking about doing, and nothing said no. As I was describing before, the way I approach things is a path appears and I walk down the path until there's a major obstruction, and then I decide, well, that must not be the path. But
I love that.
And when I discovered Rural Ideas Network that had what they called a Rural Co-working Accelerator Program, who knew?
Right. Tell us just briefly about that organization, because sure. They're a really fascinating group.
Yeah. Yep. It's an economic development group. They're based in Dubuque. They started out with Creative Adventure Lab, which is a space for kids to play and create and do amazing things. Also kind of an honor system, sort of a business. And then they opened co-working upstairs from the Creative Adventure Lab. And then one of the gentlemen who was on the board for Creative Adventure Lab wanted to buy the building that these spaces were located in. And the board didn't agree, so he found some investors and bought it himself.
Wow.
And then once he created the model for the co-working space, he had the notion that this could be something that other rural communities could benefit from, smaller than Dubuque, obviously.
Yeah.
So they put together this whole turnkey package that small towns could purchase or subscribe to, however you want to define it, partner with. And they provided everything for me, the membership management system, the website, but it's all customized to my branding and to my mission, but everything's there. I can post events there. I can mail out my newsletter. I can take members' monthly subscriptions.
Their work has been really incredible. I first came across, well, some of their work through some of the online work they were doing in promotion and economic development kind of things and projects. But then also I did a feature on Dyersville a couple years ago, and they were working on a space in Dyersville that was great. But the real gem I found was over in Cascade, Iowa, where they were also working on a co-working space. But there were just several people working really hard. I mean, Cascade's a tiny town. Mm-hmm. It's got some really unique things. Has a Happy Joe's still, which is close to my little big kid heart. Couple of those things. Anyway, but yeah, Rural Ideas Network is a fascinating organization. Mm-hmm. Jordan DeGree, somebody else we have in common, some people who've really done some really solid work for rural Iowa and the Upper Midwest.
And beyond that, I think what creates even more value is all the programming that they provide. So there's a coaching program. We have the Innovation Works program that provides services for larger organizations to tackle innovation or different kinds of challenges they're facing. So it's really the programming that's the big piece of it that creates the greatest amount of value as far as as far as I'm concerned.
So the works, tell us why we got from Office Works to the works.
Sure. Part of it is because the other piece of this puzzle, this space used to be a restaurant, so there was a commercial kitchen here. And I just didn't see a reason to rip all that infrastructure out from the kitchen. So if that was, you know, that was an asset that came with the purchase of the building, so I just rolled with it. So I have the Kitchen Works commercial kitchen for rent. We have the office space, the co-working space, the coaching services, Innovation Works. So
it's
just
such
wanted
a cool combination of things.
I felt like an umbrella name. And credit where credit's due, Ms. Julie Berg Raymond.
Oh yeah, awesome.
We worked with her early on when she was exploring the possibility of an online news magazine, and she was with us. And she would when we would correspond about the place, she called it the Works.
Oh,
and,
I love that.
Yep. And so the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know. And hopefully then this also allows me to pursue another path that I'm interested in, which is potentially partnering with other rural communities in our region who are interested in creating similar kinds of spaces for their entrepreneurs.
A really great model. And if somebody's listening to our show and hasn't come across a co-working space or what that means, just as if it's a really quick rundown. I mean, I'm looking out the window of a little office that we're working in here today, but I see a beautiful open space. I see windows onto Main Street. I can see other cool buildings out in front of it. Individual tables. We've got tall tables by the windows. We've got some working tables to the wall. We're back in a private space. You also have a little phone booth space. Mm-hmm. So you can take your calls and not bug everybody.
We have a conference room.
Right. And what does that look like if somebody wanted to come to Lansing and work for the day? What does that look like?
We also have day passes, so we get to serve the visitor here too. So, well, and that's what's wonderful about these services that I was mentioning. I go to LansingOfficeWorks.com and click on services, and individuals can book whatever it is that they're interested in. They can book the conference room. They can purchase a day pass. They can purchase a membership. They can book their coaching sessions, register for webinars, events. And what's cool, the other thing that makes this possible, again, with the kind of lifestyle that's important to me, is anytime there's a transaction on my website, it pops up on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
So if someone purchases a day pass, I can call them immediately. I can give them a code to get in the door. I can explain to them what they'll find when they arrive here. Personally, I try to be here when they arrive, and I would say probably 85% of the time I am, but once in a while I can't be. So, so it's
Very flexible space, very user-friendly, also office space. I mean, if somebody's looking for a little bit longer office space, that's possible, right? All those things in co-working.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Marianne Baldwin, a special guest on our show here, Rhymes with Lansing, entrepreneur, a board member of Main Street Lansing. We haven't gotten there yet. We're going to talk about a whole bunch more things in the second half of the show. We're going to be right back. A little series we're calling Rhymes with Lansing here. Be back in a minute. Thanks for being here, Marianne.
Rhymes with Lansing is being made possible by the generous support of the L. McKee Clayton Electric Cooperative and Dairyland Power. For more information on L. McKee Clayton Electric Cooperative, visit acrec.com. To find out more about Lansing, Iowa, where Main Street meets the Mississippi, visit lansingiowa.com. Rhymes with is a companion project of Inspired Media. Find us online at iloveinspired.com.
And you're listening to a show we're calling Rhymes with Lansing, a special mini-series of shows here recorded live at The Works in downtown Lansing, featuring all sorts of interesting topics here in one of Northeast Iowa's great escapes on the Mississippi River. Love that line, where Main Street meets the Mississippi, right? Another guest we have on another one of these shows for the miniseries is going to be Andrew Boddicker, of course, executive director of Main Streets for Lansing. But Marianne, tell us, you're also a board member there, is that right?
I am, yes.
Classic small town, right?
I'm going to divert really quick. Main Street meets the Mississippi, one of my favorite visitors here at The Works. She was here for vacation to visit her family, and she was on a software team, and the software launch got pushed, and of course, it just happened to be the week she was going to be on vacation in Lansing. So she booked day passes for the week. She would do her calls, do her work, and then when she was free, she would walk 2 blocks down to the Mississippi. Her family would pull up in the boat. She'd hop on. They'd tool around the river. When it was time for another conference call, they'd drop her back off at the end of Main Street. She'd walk up 2 blocks, come on back in here, fire up the laptop, and get back to work. So
that is how you get it done.
So that's why we say work where you play, because we have a place to work, and you can still play, and it's all right at your fingertips. So.
That is fantastic. I mean, I should also mention that, as a lot of us know who live in rural Iowa, the internet, the real internet, as I like to call it, is not always totally readily accessible, even in towns, even in cities the size of ones like I live in most of the time.
We have business-grade internet here, so if your internet's not working, just come on over.
Right? An amazing thing, while you're working in this day and age, you really have to have reliable service if you're jumping on calls, jumping on Zooms, all that kind of stuff.
Doing software development.
Right. I mean, you can make that happen here, which is amazing. Marianne, let's back up one more second, too. We're talking about, you know, things you become involved in a small town, right? Mm-hmm. Part of it is, like, if you were going to end up in a small town, this is just how it works. You're going to end up involved in things whether you want to or not.
Yep. You're going to get the calls.
The opportunities are there, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine you've found your way into several of these conversations over time. But Main Streets, tell us a little bit about Main Streets and what that's meant to you in part sure. of your equation, yep. right? Not only does Andrew have an office here mm-hmm. in the works, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing, but tell us a little more about the organization, how you ended up becoming involved.
Yep, absolutely. So I chose to live here. So my philosophy is, why not help be part of the effort that improves the quality of life here? So there's so many things that we can do together in a small town. And, you know, I know some people don't care for small towns because everybody knows everybody. I lived in a lot of big cities. I enjoy it immensely. I think it's awesome that everybody knows it. And that's another reason why these businesses I talked about, these honor system businesses, can work, because
absolutely.
People are great idea. Be part of it, and you know them, and they know you. But anyway, back to Main Street. So I'm very much about finding ways to improve quality of life, selfishly for myself, but, you know, for everybody. So there are all kinds of great events that we do here. We have Taste of Lansing in the spring. We have the Main Street punch card promotion. Andrew will get into all of this, of course, but I just enjoy being part of a team of people who have a common vision and value of making life better and lifting quality of life. So those are the kinds of things we get to do together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also interesting. I know, so Main Streets is an actual, like, a national framework, yes. right? And we won't go too far into that. That's mm-hmm. a whole other series of shows, and they actually do amazing shows. But it's essentially a framework that allows a town like Lansing, a town of, 1,000 people, mm-hmm. right? Give mm-hmm. or take, to have some framework to work within, some resources, some mm-hmm. back-end resources of just how to get things done, how to make sure your town is on track.
Yep.
You're thinking creatively, you're working on things.
Yeah.
Right just down the block from us, like a building, or is it right here actually?
The other side of the next door neighbor.
Yeah. yeah. Yep. There's an amazing new town square, mm-hmm. I would call it. Mm-hmm. Your farmer's market happens there.
We're in the city park now.
But, oh, fantastic.
Yeah, but we're going to have some scheduled programming this summer of performances and gatherings.
A beautiful new mural. Mm-hmm. I mean, some things like that. So, like, those are the kind of, you know, big ideas.
Yep.
And
historic preservation is also a big piece of it, too.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So preserving the character.
Another
of the
thing,
history.
I gave a brief, like, just look out the window from our office here. But can you just, in your words, as you look down, you know, Lansing Main Street, it is a beautiful old small town,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
The buildings, can you just, in your mind, give us the kind of vision of what that looks like?
Sure. That's a good way to describe
the,
it.
The stone buildings, the brick fronts.
There's a uniformity to it, but at the same time, each building also has its own personal character based on how it's evolved over time. So, and we just had a facade improvement project here. So there was some funding available to make some upgrades to the fronts of our buildings, and quite a few businesses took advantage of that. So it's bringing, you know, modern improvements, but maintaining the character of the history. And that's another thing I've enjoyed, is getting to know, you learn all about all the different things that took place in this community over decades. And
seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the combination of, like, the businesses that still exist here in Almaquis County in general, but in Lansing, as well as the outdoor recreation pieces. I mean, literally having Main Street on the riverfront, mm-hmm. As well as, you know, Mount Hosmer, which is the park that's just right above town right mm-hmm. here. It's just a beautiful place. Some of those things. And if nothing else, it's so worthy of a day trip to just come poke around.
Stay overnight too. It doesn't
and
have
come
to be
stay,
just
right?
We have lots of places.
Stay for a week. Stay for a month. Stay for a lifetime.
I will also say that's another vision I have for the works, is that someone could, in fact, string two weekends together and stay for a week because they have a place to work Monday through Friday. So
I love that.
Yeah,
and some great resources. We're going to talk to a few other people in some of the other shows. I mean, some of the spots you have around town, you have a great coffee shop, cafe, you know, you have some fun restaurants, you have some just really unique spots that you are unique to find, and proximity mm-hmm. too is also really fun for this corner of the world.
Yeah,
so it's really a beautiful place. The other thing I was going to ask you, you know, I mean, again, we're talking about a town of 1,000 people. This is a small rural town, but, you know, opening up a business in a town of 1,000 people also, like we were talking about, provides some opportunity, not only for yourself, but also for the community. Granted, you have to have a certain population to make something work, mm-hmm. but also people in a small town really appreciate it, right? When you're going after something that is going to improve the community or an opportunity, right?
Yeah.
One of the questions I asked you before we started, and I don't know if you have an answer for this or not, but it's a game that Aaron and I like to play in Decora all the time, is, you know, what does our town need?
Sure.
What are we short of? What would be the thing that everybody would be so excited about? Do you have an answer for that for Lansing?
Well, yeah, I do. We actually did some research along those lines last year, so I have an inside track on that, because I did the research, so that was my part of my background. The last 20 years was doing
love that
consumer research, but anyway, so I was able to bring some of those skills to the table to help with that, and that was in pursuing the Iowa Great Places designation that Lansing received last year. That,
absolutely, it's a huge feather in the cap.
Andrew gets the feather in the cap on that one. He led the charge, but anyway, Supper Club.
So, oh, yeah.
Huge.
And there were a couple over the years that were real legendary. Yeah.
Then it would be really fun if someone would maybe bring a supper club that, you know, harkened back to what we used to have, but also, you know, brought some of the modern day amenities to that. Mm-hmm. So that was a big one. It used to be coffee shop. So we were thrilled when we got our coffee shop.
And, right. Yep,
we love that place. What else was
on the list? Coffee on the River, I should mention. We're going to have a little chat in another show, but they're amazing. Yeah.
So Supper Club was at the top of the list. I think the other thing that we talk about a lot is something for kids, something for teens. Mm-hmm. There is not... fortunately, I guess you could say it's a small school, so a lot of kids are involved in sports and in music and in extracurricular activities. Yep. So, you know, for most kids, there are outlets, but we really don't have a gathering place in this community where kids can spend time after school or on the weekends. And I don't know exactly what that is, but I know that towns have figured that out, and that would be a huge amenity for us.
Absolutely.
And it is fun to see some of the young couples who are coming back to this area and raising their families. And we're seeing, for instance, being involved with our Park and Rec program and our T-ball program. And I mean, last summer there were 30 T-ball kids out there some days. And again, for a town of 1,000 people, there's kids coming up into the school system. And
something that I think people are figuring out, especially what I will casually call post-pandemic, is that opportunities in small towns are more than just jobs or economic reasons that you can't always quantify.
Oh,
and if you want to raise a family and raise kids in a place that is not only safe but fun, it's kind of amazing. I think people are starting to figure that out again.
Yep,
you know, there's more to the equation than just, you know, what you're going to make or how you're going to make it or what you're going to do, right?
That's
a whole new world.
That's something else you'll see if you come here to work and you're looking out the front window. You'll see kids go by on their bicycles, for sure. I mean, if you're here in the summer, I guarantee it.
Right,
don't see that in a lot of cities.
Hey, I love that. Speaking of summer, I mean, so summer's the easy hit in Lansing, right? Because the river is right at the end of Main Street. And river time in this part of the world is really something special. People talk about like lake time if you're up in Minnesota or whatever, right? But I find that people either have spent time on the river or they haven't. I was really lucky as a kid. Both of my grandpas loved to fish. Mm-hmm. My dad too, of course, my brother. But both my grandpas loved to fish, and my one grandpa particularly would come down to the river quite a bit, and he had an old fishing boat, and so he would just throw us in the truck and we'd come down. Mm-hmm. We'd go to Black Hawk or jump in at Lansing here, wherever, and we got to spend a lot of time on the river and go back and see the artesian wells and, you know, go into places and get stuck and, you know, all the fun stuff. But the river is just a really special place, and there's no way to, I think, understand it until you're actually on the river.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you can look at the river from the bridge or from an overlook, but until you're on the river, I think it's a whole different exposure, right?
But I'll make the case, when you're used to living here and having the river, you go to a town, small town that does not have a river. there's something that's missing, that's difficult to describe.
Sure.
But you don't have that huge body of water, you know, moving through, and all the things that pass through as a result. You feel it. And so, you know, I think, well, it'd be fun to live here, it'd be fun to live there. But yeah, you wouldn't have that.
Right.
That river flowing through.
What are some of your favorite summer activities around Lansing, or even bumper seasons, not even summer necessarily?
Sure. Yep.
What does that look like for you?
Well, I do really enjoy Mount Hosmer. Mm-hmm. Love to, you know, grab a friend and just do a walk up that hill. It's enough to be challenging, but it's not so much that it's not doable. So yeah, it's a good workout, and then you get rewarded both with the fantastic views when you get
such
to the top.
Such great views.
But also the beautiful wooded park at the top, too. You know, and then it's flat, and you can do a couple laps up there.
It's the thing I always have to tell people who maybe haven't been up or haven't been up there in a while. People don't realize, like, oh, it's the lookout, right? And it's like, no, there's a great lookout halfway, mm-hmm. and there's a really great lookout on the top, but there's an entire park.
Right.
There's an entire memorial, yeah. Great picnic areas.
And then go from there. Now we have a fully marked trail system. So
yes.
You've got maps, trailheads, signage when you're on the trails. So
some really, really yeah, good spots yeah. too. I was out last summer and some really great hikes or bikes, mm-hmm. like pretty fun stuff, some yeah. good terrain, some really interesting areas.
So that's an essential part of a day in Lansing. And then we mentioned coffee on the river. So definitely, you know, then follow up with the late breakfast, early lunch. And if it's nice enough, sit out on the deck, the back of the building, and again, you're practically right over the current, and you just sit there and enjoy how beautiful it is there.
And then
from there, then you have to get out on the river. So you know,
right,
top on the pontoon and just tool around and yeah, to see what's going on.
Probably mentioned that with Andrew too. There's some really unique other businesses in Lansing too, right? I mean, you can actually rent a houseboat mm-hmm. in Lansing mm-hmm. and hit the river. You
and
can rent
so cool.
a pontoon
yeah.
boat. You can do other stuff. Like, there are some really unique opportunities that mm-hmm. are so much fun. Marianne, what else is on the horizon for you? I mean, you seem like someone that, despite saying you've retired, I'm not sure I believe that entirely.
Well, as I said,
what else is in your, yeah. you know, what have you got in your back pocket still, huh?
It was mostly the travel I was trying to get away from. Well, let's say travel that was not
for work,
scheduled
right.
by my choice. Yes.
Right. was, understood.
Yep. Yep. The
understood.
Clients got to call those shots. So, you know, just continuing to, you know, spread the word that we exist and about the resources that we have available for small business and entrepreneurs. You know, another piece we didn't mention, and I think is really, really critical to small towns, is succession planning. And I would love to either lead the way or be the part of a mission to help match up younger adults with older adults who would like to retire from their businesses, but who are running essential businesses in the community. There's some fantastic you know, small family business opportunities in these small, and we actually have a succession planning coaching resource within our portfolio of services. So
that is a huge resource. I think I just recently saw a figure on that, and the percentage of businesses owned by people, I think 50 or 60 plus, mm-hmm. Who are looking at retirement in like the next, you know, decade, mm-hmm. is staggering. Mm-hmm. I mean, the number of business opportunities out there anywhere, but particularly across the rural part of the U.S. is incredible, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep.
So that's a really important piece of the puzzle. Very,
yeah.
very cool.
So, and I'll put myself on that list too. I mean, I'm not going to run this forever either. So I am constantly keeping my eyes and ears open to just let people know, hey, you
yeah.
know, few years.
I love that.
I need to hand this off to somebody else. I don't want to
right.
do this, you know, forever.
Right.
I think I'll always be a part of it as long as it exists. But
yes.
I don't have to be the one. But, you know, you look at, are you talking to Dave Jansen, the hardware
yeah,
store?
I think so.
And Rick Walsh,
yep.
I think you're talking to.
It's going
to
be another part
to.
Of our
so,
series, yeah.
I mean, those are both tremendous family-owned businesses in the community. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to see their kids starting to get involved with it. So,
absolutely.
You know, I think there's not always somebody immediately available.
No, and those opportunities, and those are the things that really make small towns keep clicking,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Really amazing parts of the
yep.
puzzle.
And I think to have maybe a mentor or facilitator involved. So because
yeah.
sometimes it's impossible for someone who owns that business to explain, here's how we
oh,
do
yeah.
things, because they've been doing it for decades. They don't even think about it anymore. So
you bet.
To have someone kind of help, you know,
or
make
to negotiate
it easy for
through
both.
The generations,
yeah,
even
yeah,
been
yeah,
there,
yeah.
been there, done
so,
that. Amazing.
So anyway, I think that's another thing that's cool about small towns is the business opportunities, and if we could have some matchmaking,
huge opportunities,
yeah, potential out there. I think that would be fun.
Love that. Marianne Baldwin, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be with us to talk a little bit.
My this pleasure. I've got my back to the snow, so I can just
are,
be in denial.
You're
and
winning.
Pretend it's not. You're staring at it.
You have to go ride the river taxi, though. I don't know. I'm going to stay here and drink coffee. LansingOfficeWorks.com. People want to learn more about what you're up to right here in Lansing, right?
Thank you so much for including me in your programming while
it's
you're
a,
here.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for hosting us.
Pretty cool to have you here.
Absolutely. We're excited. We're going to keep clicking through the shows. Marianne Baldwin, entrepreneur, so much more here in this part of the world, Lansing, Iowa. LansingIowa.com is where you can find out more about what is happening on the river. This is a mini series of shows that we're doing called Rhymes with Lansing, a companion podcast project of Inspired Media. Find us online at iloveinspired.com. Catch you on the next show, Rhymes with Lansing. These shows are being made possible by the generous support of the Al McKee Clayton Electric Cooperative and Dairyland Power. For more information on Al McKee Clayton Electric Cooperative, visit acrec.com. To find out more about Lansing, Iowa, where Main Street meets the Mississippi, visit LansingIowa.com.
Rhymes with Decora is a project of Inspired Media. Find us online at iloveinspired.com.